If you have your program, I'd like you to turn to the very back of your program, and on the back page, you'll find the scripture and message outline we're going to follow very closely on this morning. Very back of your program, find the scripture and message outline. Our scripture comes from the book of Psalms, and it is the very first psalm, Psalm number one. And I always like to go to Psalms at the beginning of the year, so the Lord has led me again to Psalm one, and I'm going to do a short series. So for the next few weeks, in Psalm one, there are six verses. So I'm going to take two verses each week for the next 3 weeks. The Lord let me live. That's my intention. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 for this week, reading it from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." So I want to speak to you now, blessings in 2025. As we come into this year, looking at how we can have the Lord to bless us. And almost every commentator I've read starts out by saying, God is interested in what we are, in instructing us on what not to do. And so it actually starts out with saying what not to do. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the teenager, blessed is the young adult, blessed is the senior citizen, blessed is the child, blessed is the person. And you might even be struggling with your sexuality. This goes towards heterosexual, homosexual, or whatever sexual you call yourself. You are blessed if you will follow what God's word says. Somebody should have said amen right there. Yeah, you're blessed. You might be struggling with some things. I know people who are struggling with alcoholism. I know people that are struggling with drugs. I know people that are struggling with their sexual orientation. It's just a lot of things that people struggle with. But even in all of your struggles, if you would get to this, if you will let this find its way into your heart and let it manifest itself in your life, you will be blessed. And so that's what it says. Blessed is the man, or whoever it is, man, woman, girl, whoever, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so I want to start out with what this scripture talks to us about. And as we study it, I do want you to know, I've been doing some research on this passage, and one of the things you probably should know is that the book of Psalms, which was written, some say, over the course of almost 1,000 years. The Psalms go way back to Moses, and they go all the way up to after the kingdom of David. And so it spreads a long way. And many of them are individual person's journey and how they lived and what they experienced in their lives. And so when we look at that, I want you to start maybe thinking about, as we're going into this new year, maybe you might want to start writing down some of your journey. We're journeying through these wildfires here in California. And so I just wrote down in my journal, wildfires. And I got some pictures. I got some pictures from the LA Times and from the Daily News. And I just put some small pictures in there just to remind me of these wildfires. And I want to encourage you, write down. It's good when we're reading in the Psalm, what we're reading is something somebody has written down. And so I want to encourage you to write down something. Write down something, how it's impacting your life and how it's impacting you. Write it down. Because then when you write it down, when you look at it later, you're going to see how the Lord has brought you through it. You'll forget a lot that God has brought you through if you don't write it down. But if you write it down, not only will it be there for you, it could be there for somebody else to read even after you're gone. It's the psalmist here, he actually wrote it down. And so I want to encourage you to write it down. And when you write it down, you'll start finding out how your life starts to actually compare and is similar to things that other people have experienced in their lives. You'll see when Jesus says to the Pharisees, he said, it's going to be better for you. It's going to be better, he said, for those who were in Sodom and Gomorrah than it is going to be for you. Now, you know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They had some big fires. In fact, one said those two twin cities, they actually burned down. They had some big fires. And when Jesus says, he brings up Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, that it's going to be better for them who was in Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for you. Well, they knew what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. And they said, no, what happened there? That would never happen to me. And Jesus says, no, it won't happen to you. It's going to be worse for you. Something worse is going to happen to you. And so God looks at what has happened in our lives and what happened in our experiences. And he says, now compare that with what God is going to do with you. This is what the psalmist is doing for us today. He's saying, now, if you will guide your life in a way that God is pleased with, then God's going to do some wonderful things for you. But if you guide your life in a way that God is not pleased with, somebody asked me, did God send these wildfires? I said, no, that's not what God, but God has done. He's withdrawn his hand of mercy from us. The only reason you and I are still alive now, because God has had mercy on us. That's why we're still here. And with God, if he eases back that hand of mercy, you and I are going to be in big trouble. And so we got to ask God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on our brothers and on our sisters. Have mercy. And God has been merciful. But he tells us here, he says, I'm going to show you how you can be blessed. Even with wildfires going on, even with all the other things that are happening, there is a way, even in this situation, for you and I to be blessed. And so the scripture says, the very first psalm, the very first thing God writes in the book of Psalms is, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. God first wants to address this idea of godliness. And there are many people, even in churches, that are ungodly. Because ungodliness isn't about what you say with your mouth. Ungodliness is about what you do in your actions. And so when you sit down to eat, and after the meal, you go get your favorite beverage, and after that, you want to do whatever leisure activity, and then you might, maybe the thought might almost swiftly, almost accidentally pass your mind, I guess I should have said thank you, God, for the food. Well, if the thought just passed your mind, that means that God is trying to say something to you. He's trying to say to you that you wouldn't have had that meal if it had not been for my goodness towards you. If I had not shown love towards you. And so it is appropriate and right to say, God, even though I already ate the meal, I want to say thank you for having sent the meal. That's a man, a woman, a teenager that's trying to be godly. Even if it's after the fact, I still want to say, God, I thank you because I should have did it before, but I didn't think about it. I ate a Big Mac yesterday, and after I ate the Big Mac, I said, oh, God, I should have said thank you for it. But let me thank you now. I'm digesting it then. But God put it in my mind, you should have said it before, but it's still not too late. That's what I want you to get. The ungodly, it's always too late for them. They don't care. A godly man, a godly teenager, a godly person, they at least care. And God says, if you care, then do it now, even though it's after the fact. Do it now because you care, because you want to be godly. But he said, but the ungodly, they don't even care. They will ignore God. And once they start ignoring God, the scripture tells us that the next step is that we go in the path of sinners. The person who is a sinner is the one who has, first of all, decided they didn't have any regard for God, what the scripture calls ungodly. They're not even sinners yet. They don't care what God says. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve became ungodly. They knew what God's word said, but they said, you know what? We can be just like God. That's what the devil tells us. We want to at least hear what he got to say. And when every time you and I decide, we at least want to hear what the devil's got to say, it is at that point that we become ungodly. Remember Jesus' word when the devil was speaking to him? He said, get behind me. I don't want to hear what you got to say. I'm going forward and I'm going toward my God. Satan, you got to get behind me. We tend to say, well, I at least want to hear what you got to say. It might bring some joy. It might make me feel good. It might do this or it might do that. And that's a man or woman, that's a teenager that has already become ungodly. Because when we are godly, we want to hear what God has to say. And everything else and everybody else has to come second. God must be first. And so the very first psalm, the very first words out of the psalmist's mouth is, blessed is that person that is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't be around and don't become yourself one that doesn't care what God has to say. You become ungodly. And the ungodly are always walking in the path of sinners. So he says it, don't pay attention to the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, because that's the way the ungodly goes. They go in the path of sinners. We have to challenge ourselves not to do the ungodly. Don't get to where my thoughts are more important to me than God's thoughts. My feelings, how I feel about it, is more important to me than how God feels about it. The reason I bring the tithe is because God feels good about that. God asks us to do that. And I want to do whatever makes God feel good, whatever God is happy about, I want to do that. There's blessings that come when we honor our God. And so here the scripture tells us, don't walk in the counsel of God, not stand in the path of sinners, not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, that last one, the scornful, are those that not only are they ungodly and not only are they sinners, they take it to a point where they bring derision. They actually start to criticize God. Well, if God is who he says he is, he's all powerful, why did he let these fires come? Why did he let my loved one die? Why did, if God is who he says he is, then he ought to be better than he is. That's a scornful spirit. And that scornful spirit has little or perhaps even no respect for who God is. And God is, he so honors you and I that he will permit us to even say that which is scornful toward God. He'll permit us to even do that which is scornful to a God. There used to be a Broadway play, My Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. And I didn't see it on Broadway, but I saw it off Broadway. And one of the things that always tickled me is how human beings think that we can box with God. We get in our minds, I know God's seeing everything, but I can do this under the cover where he can't see it. He's not gonna be able to see this one. And so we have to be careful, my brothers and sisters, because that's scornful towards our God. We've made ourselves God. We're smarter than God is. And especially you do something wrong and you get away with it. My brothers and sisters, there is no getting away. God is just giving you time to repent. You don't get away with any sin. There is going to be a judgment day. Judgment day is going to happen to the best of us and to the worst of us. Now, those that are covered by the blood of Christ, it's still going to be judgment day for you, but Christ is going to say, but it's been paid for. I had a wreck years ago in my brother's car, my oldest brother's car, and I put a big dent in the car. And then when we had to go to court because I hit somebody else, and so we had to go to court, my brother went to court with me, although I was the one driving. He wasn't even in the car, but it was his car, it was registered to him, so he went with it. And the amount that the guy was suing me for, really suing my brother since it was his car and his name, was a really high amount. And I said to the judge, I'm not paying it. I mean, it was like 10 times what the price should have been. I told the judge, I'm not paying it. And the judge said, okay, you don't have to pay it, but your brother's the one's going to have to pay it, and he's going to have to go to jail too. And my brother was standing there with me, and he's nudging me to just shut up. And I said, my brother's going to jail. He wasn't even in the car. He said, but the car is in his name. And whoever he authorized to be in the car, that's still his responsibility. Well, I ended up paying that astronomical amount because I didn't want my brother to have to pay it, and I didn't want him to have to take it. It was only like a few hundred dollars, but it was a lot to me then. But I didn't want my brother to have to pay that price. And that's what God has done for you and I. That's what Calvary is all about. Jesus Christ didn't want us to have to pay that price. You know the price of sin? The wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, I don't want you to have to pay the death penalty. He paid it for us. He died for us. He went to the cross and he gave up his life, and he did it for me. He did it for you because he loves us. And so don't be scornful of what God has done for us. Well, man, the woman that is ungodly will become a sinner and they will become scornful. Let me get to the good news. I like this. It says, but. Somebody say, but. This is his, God said, now that is true. Everything God said in verse 1 is true. But then he gets to verse 2 and he starts verse 2 by saying, but means, now in contrast to that, everything in verse 1 is true. Yet there is a contrast. There's another side of the coin. You know, if you had a coin, there's a head and a tail. There's two sides to every coin. And so God said, now that what I said on that other side is still true, but it's not the only truth. There's more truth, and the more truth is, but God has something that he wants to do to bless us. This blessed is the man, the woman, the teenager, who will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat nor walk in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That person will be blessed just by themselves, just for not doing those things. There's a blessing that will come just from that. But he said, but there's something else. There's a further truth. And if you will get this deeper truth, this heavier truth, then your life will become brighter and your life will become stronger. You'll become more of the man, the woman, the person God wants you to be. He says, but his delight. My brothers and sisters, I want you to focus on what would be a delight to you. I'm grateful for all of my grandsons, but I got one. His name is Caleb. Every time he sees me, whatever Caleb is doing, when he sees me, he stops doing it. Even yesterday, Friday, we were having ice cream, and I had walked away, and the other boys were there with Caleb. And then when I walked back, he stopped eating his ice cream when he saw me. Now, I was wondering, was he throwing that ice cream or what was he doing with it? But he saw me and he stopped, he paused. And he got up out of his chair and he started coming towards me because I know he's going to outgrow it, but at least right now he has a delight. He knows something good is going to happen. I carry a lollipop just for Caleb. So I got it. He knows we got something going on. There's a delight, and that's what God has for you and for me. He delights in us. Every time he sees us, every time he thinks of us, he's happy about that thought. Well, that's what God wants you and I to have for him. God said, I want you to delight in God. I want your life to light up when you think about your God. I want praises to come up in your mouth when you think about your God. I want you to feel happy when you think about your God. This person delights in the law of the Lord. And when you get it in your spirit, my brother and sister, I want to delight in the thought of my God. And every time I think about Calvary, I think about what Jesus Christ did on my behalf. It makes me delightful. Every time I think about Calvary, doesn't matter how bad things might be, it doesn't even matter if I'm feeling sick, not feeling well. When I remember Calvary, my soul delights. I start saying, God, even though I wish I could do better, I wish I felt better, I wish my body was responding better, but I'm glad I'm a child of the living God. My delight is in his law. We got this blessing from God who said, now if you will delight in me, he says, now look at what he said, delight in the law of the Lord. When you talk about the law, you're talking about God's way, God's rules, God's guidance. How does God want me to live? That's delighting in his law. God, whatever pleases you, I'm happy to do it. That's delighting in his law. God, whatever puts a smile on your face, I'm going to do just that. That's delighting in his law. And God has promised that if you will delight in the law of the Lord, if you will have him in your mind day and night, meditate on him. Think of him before you think of yourself. Think, what might I do to make him happy today? What might I say? What action can I take that God himself would be delighted? And God says, all I want you to do is think about me. If you would just have God on your mind, God would delight in that. He's happy that you just thought of him. He's happy that you made your way out to the house of prayer today. He's happy that you put other things aside and said, I'm going to go to God's house for a little while. God delights when we think of him. My hope and prayer as we go into 2025 is that we will think of our God. Think of what he will be pleased with. Think of how he feels about what we are and what we do and how we act. Just think about God. God will delight in you thinking about him. I'm going to stop right there. Where you stand, maybe somebody here today wants to think about our God. Man, woman, boy, girl.